Welcome to Motivated to Lead podcast, helping you become a better leader. I'm your host, Mark Klingsheim.
Hi, everyone. Thanks again for joining us for our podcast this week. My name is Mark Klingsheim with SEMA Partners. Each week, we interview leaders and they share lessons learned from their careers. Our goal is to help you become a better leader. This week, we're happy to have with us Jeff Kraus. Jeff is the CEO of Syneron Candela, and he has just some great leadership lessons he's going to share with us today. He's got some insights I think will be helpful in your career. Looking forward to our conversation today with Jeff. It's great to have Jeff joining us. And I guess, first off, Jeff, can you give us just a little bit of your background, a little bit of your career?
Yeah, sure. So I guess career-wise, I did a master's in business and public health because I knew I wanted to get into healthcare. Spent some time at Roche in their diagnostics business, big global company, and kind of went to smaller companies through most of my career. So from there, spent some time at a company called Millipore that was life science tools that was acquired by a large German company. Then I went to a blood diagnostics company called Immucor, which was publicly traded, and that was sold to a private equity firm. That kind of got me very interested in really the capital markets and private equity. So I shifted my career a bit, became the CEO of a private equity backed company. It was founder led and we bought it with private equity money. I sold that in 2015 timeframe. And then most recently, I've been the CEO of a company called Candela Medical, which is a laser device company that sells into the aesthetic space. And I've been doing that since 2017.
Okay. One of the questions that I like to ask almost every guest that we have on is, knowing what you know now, what advice would you give yourself at the age of 22?
Well, one of them would be, when you start off your career, I say you're full of piss and vinegar, right? You see stuff and you just say, why are they doing it this way? And I would tell my 22-year-old self, embrace the piss and vinegar, push hard for change. You often get people say, stay in your box, pay your dues. And I realize, a lot of people in our age bracket, think that millennials need to stay in their box. I say no. When you're young and you see things differently, you want things to change, embrace that energy, obviously be respectful, but push for change and raise your voice and, take chances and have fun with it. There's that youth and innocence and energy should just be fully leveraged and have fun with it.
So is there any advice that you received early on that you would choose to ignore now, looking back?
Wow, that's a good question. Advice that I would choose to ignore, I think, would be, you have to go through step one to get to step two, to get to step three. I think that is, often how young people are mentored or told that they, need to follow their career path. And I think it's possible to skip a few steps if you're willing to take risk and chances and not be afraid of failure. So when those opportunities arise, or if you can create those opportunities, skip a few steps.
Mm. I read an article that Bruce Tolgan, who had introduced us, I think wrote the article, but you were interviewed recently for Forbes regarding mentorship and how important it is to have mentors and also be a mentor. Can you talk a little bit about that and just some of your thoughts around that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think regardless of where you are in your career or in your life, there's always people around that have more experience or different experience, different insights. And it behooves all of us who, want to be leaders and want to make a difference to seek those people out and create meaningful relationships so that you can get that advice. Through my career, I've had multiple mentors and some, actually now I look back at some of them and think, wow, I've surpassed that person, right? Mm-hmm. But at that point in my life or in my career, they were incredibly valuable mentors and provided a lot of guidance. So it's not just finding one for life. It's, constantly looking for people that can help and advise you. just recently I called on an old boss of mine because I'm dealing with a business problem, around our manufacturing and operations. And I knew, he was somebody that guided me a long time ago, and I called him up and, provided excellent advice and, had been through that. So people who have seen the movie before can really give you some insights and help you, and you should always look for new mentors and cherish them. Mm.
So thinking back to that first, we have a number of new leaders, maybe first time leading their first team or their new CEOs. What advice, thinking back to kind of that first management of a team, what advice do you wish you would have had prior to that?
Be very selective. There's lots of advice there. So one of the key things is, you are not an expert in any areas. You might be an expert in one or two, but there's going to be a ton of areas as you lead that you're picking up new responsibilities that you know little or even nothing about. And so looking for people, really understanding what is the role, what are the knowledge, skills, and experiences that I need this person to have in order to be successful in this role, and also that they can teach me new things and I can learn in the process, is really critical. So, you can't just take the team that you inherit. You have to really look critically at where your strengths and weaknesses are, what the organizational need is, the business need, and be very thoughtful about getting the right knowledge, skills, and experiences in place. The other thing that I would say is new leaders often hire below them intentionally because they're insecure. When you're hiring as a new leader, a first-time leader, the single greatest thing you can do is hire people that you think should be doing your job or can do your job within a year or two. Because that way you're going to get a learning organization. You're going to learn and everybody's going to win. And if you're afraid that person's going to take your job, then you need to rethink that and embrace that challenge.
So I know one of your passions, and I'll ask other things that you like to do to kind of unwind, but I know karate is a part of your life. In fact, we were talking before we got started that Bruce was in your, I think, one of your early classes that you kind of grew up together. But talk a little bit about that and just kind of lessons around that that experience you're a sensei, right? I've seen some of your videos. I don't think I've ever talked to somebody who has that that title. But talk a little bit about that passion.
So, one of the things that I learned in martial arts that has applied to my career is that, there is no end game. There's no such thing as perfection. There's no such thing as mastery. You're always a student. And embracing and enjoying the process of learning is, what makes it fun. I think when you're learning a martial art and it truly is a life endeavor, you can apply that to other things, especially, your career.
So I know the rebirth, probably there's been a lot more interest in karate since Cobra Kai series came out recently. So some of those that had that as a part of their childhood, the movie, have relived that. So
I had it as part of my childhood and have watched all the Cobra Kai.
Absolutely. What do you want to be known for as a leader? What are some of the things that you want to be known for, kind of a legacy?
Well, the first thing I want to be known for is somebody that dealt with people and with the world around us with a sense of integrity and purpose. I think that there's so many people nowadays, and luckily our political environment has changed recently, but we have a lot of leaders around the world and in society and important positions that are in it for themselves. And that's not what leadership is about. I really take great pride in mentoring people that work with me and trying to understand what is it that they want to do, where do they want to be, and doing my part to help them get there. I also, in running businesses, want to make it a place where people have a sense of pride and mission, you know, that they're doing something of value. And I think we need a lot more of that, frankly, you know, in this everybody's in it for themselves environment. You know, I think I was like that when I was 22, to go back to your 22-year-old self. It's okay when you're 22 to be in it for yourself and, you know, get to a place. But once you become a leader, even if it's a leader of five people, that's when you really have to think about what your responsibility is as a leader. And that's what I want to be remembered for, is somebody who took that responsibility very seriously.
So talk a little bit about any lessons that you've learned in the last 10 months. We're living in some interesting times, and there's been a lot of pivoting that most people have had to do in their companies and their organizations. But talk about any lessons that you've learned in the last 10 months.
Yeah, that's a long list, because it has been a harrowing 10 months. I tell people, you know, 2020 was the most harrowing year of my career, and I hope to be able to retire and still say that.
Right.
Be another yep. one of those. You know, but lots of lessons learned. There's a balancing act as a CEO. You have responsibility to your customers, you have responsibility to your employees, and you have responsibility to your shareholders. And people often talk about that, but it's not until you get into a crisis that you're really forced to understand that and think it through. And, you know, for us, the crises definitely led to some short-term economic impact, where I had to balance the capital interest and survival of our company with people that had, you know, people's livelihoods that had invested a lot of their time and energy and counted on the company, you know, to feed their families. And we had to make some really hard decisions. And the lesson there, I guess, is that twofold. One, I learned a lot about, you know, even though I've been a CEO for a decade, I've learned a lot about how capital markets really work and what the responsibilities to the financial component really are when push comes to shove. And I've also built a whole new appreciation for the responsibility of leadership and the people that entrust you, you know, to see the ship through the storm. And I guess the other thing I learned is through that process, you know, if you're transparent, you explain the reason why and you communicate to people, they'll stick with you. You know, if they understand the why and what you're trying to do, and you do it transparently and with integrity, people will follow. They understand life, you know, life isn't black and white, and these things aren't easy.
Good. So any books that that have had an impact on you that you would recommend to other leaders, that anything on your reading list?
Well, certainly for the new leaders, I would recommend Churchill on Leadership. That is a quick read, and you know, you want one of the best leaders that ever lived. Churchill's a man to study. But what I really like about that book is it really talks about the importance of putting the right generals in place, and then entrusting them and truly empowering them to do their job. And that's what leadership is about, right? If you try to do other people's jobs as your responsibilities grow and grow, you can't possibly execute. And so that's the fundamental story there. But reading that book and really internalizing Churchill's leadership methods, I think is great. The other book that I just love personally, and probably has more to do with my martial arts background, is Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse. And that's really a story, you know, coming of age, but really finding one's center and happiness. And to me, that, you know, the combination of those two books, you know, find who you are, your center, and really understand what it takes to be a leader. That's a killer combination.
Great. So we talked a little bit about karate is probably something that you do outside of work to recharge. But anything else that that you enjoy doing?
Well, I'm an adrenaline junkie. Okay. So if it involves risk and potential injury, I generally do it. So I, you know, I like sports a lot. So I, you know, I'm a kite surfer and mountain biker. I do a lot of road cycling. I do my martial arts. You know, so that's an area where I channel my energy.
And really, great. So any parting advice that you would give to a new and up and coming leader?
enjoy the learning process. You know, don't be afraid of failure. You know, that going back to Churchill, right? Success consists of going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. And so, you know, that doesn't mean you get into things to fail, but you have to get into things that you have a reasonable chance of failure. That's the only way you really challenge yourself. And, you know, that's basically a constant learning process. So that would be my parting advice. Enjoy learning.
Great. Well, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate your time and insights today. This has been a lot of fun, and definitely wish you a continued success in your career and as you build your company.
Thanks, Mark. It was really nice to speak to you. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank you for listening to the Motivated to Lead podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes. You can also see a video version of this interview at motivatedtolead.com. This podcast is brought to you by SEMA Partners, helping you find your next great leader.